All right, this is the first technical, somewhat technical Samba-related talk in the conference. And we are in the good, and you are in the unfortunate situation that there's lunch afterwards. So, I mean, yeah, I hope we don't take too long. Okay. Yes, and let's start. It's good to see so many people here in the room. Something has happened. So there was, well, it was almost some cool date. Sometimes in the evening, at least here in Germany, was roughly 6 p.m., something really unexpected happened. Samba 4.0.0 was released. And I think until the very day this happened, many people didn't believe it would happen. Not last year, not this year, not ever, maybe. And yes, this is perception is due to the fact that the whole, I mean, as small as it is, the whole Samba team was so much parted into various development streams, Samba 3 file server, the Samba 4 project, and so on. So for many years there was really, let's say, disjoint development. And so how could that happen? So for me, the first time I heard of Samba 4 was on my first Samba XP. I sat in the audience, and I think it was Samba 3 was just released, and then Andrew Tridgell gave a talk about the status of Samba 4. And I thought, what? And here's someone who can much better tell you about all the history behind it. And yes, I hand over to Stefan Metzmacher.
Hi. So here's a bit of history, what happened during the Samba 4 development. In the mid of 2003, we released Samba 3.0, the beta version 1. And while doing that, Twitch already started on a new code base for Samba 4. The main focus was to rewrite the file server, make it more structured and support everything an SMB server has to support. We wrote a lot of testing infrastructure, unit tests, because at this time we didn't have any documentation about the protocol, and we needed to find out how subtle details worked. And yeah, we wrote a lot of torture tests and figured out how to do things. The first release of this code base was relatively small, just 350,000 lines of code. The current master branch is about 2.7 million lines of code. So this was really small compared to what we have now.
And this is not counting generated code, right?
Yeah, exactly. And it was relatively easy to read through it within a few days and get the main points. Then later in the year, 3.0 was finally released, and versions of Samba 4 and Samba 3 was diverged, and it continued to diverge. There were many fixes in the 3.0 release branch. And yeah, in 2004 we introduced so-called LDB. It's a lightweight database for storing objects with attributes similar to LDAP. Then we got a PIDL compiler. It's an IDL compiler comparable to Middle and Windows, who generates code for RPC interfaces. Then in 2006, we released, not as Samba team, but as Cernet, a project called Samba for Wins. This was based on the new Samba 4 code and contained a Wins server which could replicate between a few servers compatible with Windows NT 4 and Windows 2000 Wins servers.
Maybe it's also worth making one comment here that the original intent of the Samba 4 project was to really replace many parts of the grown Samba 3 SMB server rather soon. So there was a plan to quickly merge things as they became available, and you see that until 2006, not much of that had happened. Codes diverged, and so the first thing that was really going in production was this split out WinS server from the Samba 4 project.
Yeah, exactly. So later in 2006, the focus of Samba 4 changed into an implementation of an Active Directory domain controller. We worked hard to find out how the replication between Active Directory servers worked, still without any documentation. Trying to fight with a Kerberos encryption and other encryption parts to find out how the Windows domain controllers talk to each other and replicate the AD database. And still the repositories of Samba 3 and Samba 4 diverged even more. Later in 2007, we finally received documentation from Microsoft, which helped a lot because we didn't have to find out everything ourselves. We still need to verify all details which are in the documentation, but we have good hints, and yeah, it's much easier now. In 2008, there was an idea born called Frankie, where we aim to release a domain controller without finishing everything in Samba 4. So we plan to have some parts of Samba 3 plugged into Samba 4 and take parts of both systems.
Maybe can I make a comment here? So you see here this comment: in 2007, the first version of CDDB, Samba's cluster database engine was released, and so this shows that one of the original ideas or goals of the Samba 4 project, namely to rewrite and restructure the file server to make it possible to run it on the file system cluster, was, especially after this focus change in Samba 4, not achieved by the Samba 4 project, but by the productive Samba 3 project. So, and this also shows that there has been a lot of significant development, not only bug fixing, but really feature development in the Samba 3 code base in parallel and completely disjoint from the development in Samba 4. And so this was, the Frankie thing was, okay, the file server had been, let's say, sort of neglected in the past years in the Samba 4 project. The Samba 3 file server had gotten much more feature development. And so the idea was, okay, if you want to release Samba 4, it can't be worse than Samba 3 file server wise, so we should make a combined product out of that. So this was the initial idea. Sorry for interruption.
Yeah, in 2008 we also released Samba 3.2, now with the GPL v3 plus, which was a major change compared to 3.0. And we also started to backport features from the Samba 4 stream. We automatically generated RPC code with Piddle, and also experimental cluster support. Then later we had discussed how to go forward with Samba 4, how we could achieve a release very soon. And we started to create one master branch in the Git repository combining the Samba 3 code and Samba 4 code into one common area. And we also started to add the possibility to build both at the same time. Yeah, we continue to split out common libraries like Telog, TDB, TEvent, LDB, and also some client libraries, SMB libraries, RPC stuff, into common areas in the top level of the source directory. Then in 2010 we released SAMBA 3.5, which was the first release with SMB2 support. A side note, also the research on SMB2 started in the SAMBA 4 branch, but the first production release was in the 3.5 branch. Later in 2011 we released 3.6 with official support for SMB2, just not with durable handles, which come later. But now Michael can take over again.
Thank you. Okay, you see, we had here one release, and then a little more than a year afterwards, we had a quite big release feature-wise, the SAMBA 3.6 release. And then, okay, in the following year, what happened? Quite a lot of development was done. The reconciling continued. We worked towards making it possible to release SAMBA 4 at some time. Earlier, it wasn't quite certain what really would happen if we would have a SAMBA 3.7 or if the next release would be 4.0. And then at last year's SAMBA XP conference, there was really not much in the talks, at least, that covered SAMBA 4. And this, I think, came as a disappointment to many people. The reasons were that a couple of the developers, especially Andrew Bartlett, who is also not here this year, he didn't make it, unfortunately, wasn't able to attend, and so there weren't a lot of talks about SAMBA 4, mostly about the storage and file server and clustering area. But what happened after the last SAMBA XP conference? So here's, sort of a chronicle. I mean, early May when SAMBA XP conference ended, and not even a month later we released the first beta release of SAMBA 4. So we were really busy working on that stuff, and we sat down and we discussed the things and we moved forward. So we had a series of beta releases until the end of August. Then in the next release was the first release candidate. We did a couple of release candidates, and then we originally intended to do it a little earlier, but it always comes out different than intended. But as listed first, this was the that was the release on the 11th of December in 2012. SAMBA 4 was released, and so you see here there were quite a lot of commits since the beta 1 release. So here was beta 1, and this is the 4.0 release. We should notice that we really forked the branch here at the release candidate stage. So that was it. We still coined the beta releases from master as we did with the previous alpha releases. Okay, and then it continued. We did regular bug fix releases. There was one security issue in the middle. And the latest release is 4.05. We are currently preparing 4.06. And you see, this is really gone into bug fix mode now. This is now treated as all the previous releases, really just Bugzilla stuff going in. And you see a lot less commits in the last almost half a year since the release. This is how SAMBA 4 was really done. And so it's also many of the people, most of the people actually, who helped making this reality are here in the room. So really, it's really great that we managed to do that. It's also very important, I think, for the perception of SAMBA. And so a big thank you to all of you, users, developers, contributors. So we did release Samba 4. So what is it? What does it look like? Like what are the components, what are the features? So like this. It still stems from the Frankie heritage, right? You can see that there are various components, not like the original Samba 4 design, which had a single daemon and everything running as tasks in the daemon. We do have this. So we have the new Active Directory compatible server, as we called it in our original press release. I always like this because I read this as AC/DC. But well, then we have the single daemon, the Samba daemon, which controls the Active Directory server mode. We have all these integrated components, the LDAP server. Okay, this is not Open LDAP. This is currently we can't use Open LDAP as the directory server. This is one of the most frequently asked questions on the mailing list and everywhere. So it's currently not possible. We have our own integrated LDAP server due to the very special requirements on behavior. So this is currently being discussed again, whether it will be possible. It will be very interesting what comes out of this. We have the integrated Kerberos server by the Heimdall software. We have, which is pretty new, an integrated name server, DNS server. Or we can, of course, still use the external bind server in existing and larger installations. The integrated DNS server was originally added because for simple setup, we thought it should be really very simple to set up the domain controller. And here it just falls out of a provisioning tool, and it serves its very limited purpose. And if you have some demands that are more special, you should use the external bind. And the good news is that by virtue of this plugin, the DLZ plugin, it is possible. I mean, the internal and the bind server can use the same format and the same storage of their zone informations, and so in theory it's even possible to switch. Okay, we have this, and then very very important, the file server in the Active Directory server mode that is used there. Of course, you have always the file server serving the syswall share with the group policy objects and the netlog on share. This is required. This is not the original NTVFS server, at least in the standard configuration that came with the Samba 4 project, but it is SMBD, the SMB file server from the Samba 3 project. It's not run as a component inside, as a task inside the Samba daemon, but is automatically started by Samba. It's forked in a special configuration, so you don't need to take care of starting that separately. So this is what was the intent, and I think we have achieved that. It's really very simple to set up such a Samba 4 driven Active Directory domain. Okay, there is more. So 4.0 is the direct successor of 3.6, so we have all the classical modes we knew from the Samba 3 setups. We have the known daemons, SMBD, NMBD, the NetBIOS name service, WinBind daemon. We have them here. And in a classical scenario, we just start them as before. So for a standalone server, you just start SMBD, maybe NMBD. For a domain member, you also start WinBind daemon. You can run it as a file system cluster with CDDB, which, by the way, is not, this is also asked now and then. So the domain controller is not clusterable as that. So it's the file server. So it also doesn't make a lot of sense to cluster the domain controller. That you have replication for failover and high availability, if you wish. And so this is the CDDB isn't mentioned here. And this file server has improved quite a lot from 3.6. So there are new features. So if I am missing anything here, please apologize, of course. I list the things that I know best, and I've been involved to some extent in these things. So the most visible features are the Active Directory server and maybe the SMB 2 and 3 support we have in Samba 4.0. So SMB2 is now complete. The one missing feature, the so-called durable file handles, are added in Samba 4.0, which makes SMB2 support complete. There is partial, let's say, SMB2.1 support. We have multi-credit and a couple of other features. Leases are still missing, and one or two features which are not required, which are optional. And we have basic SMB3.0 support, so we can negotiate it, speak the crypto, and what are the to-dos here will be listed later. Okay, that's what it looks like. So please, if there are questions, ask. Chris.
Can you go over quickly what durable handles provide us?
Yes, very quickly, and maybe a little more detailed later. Durable handles are file handles. Introduced with SMB 2.0, which was created with Windows Vista, Windows Server 2008, I guess, allow the client, after a short network disconnect, to reconnect to the server and reclaim its open file handles, not losing lock and caching state. That's basically it. So,
but assumes that neither the client nor the server have gone down.
Right, it's just best effort. It doesn't give you guarantees. The server tries to keep the state for the client for a certain period. It doesn't guarantee it. It tries to. If someone else comes and wants to open the file while this client is disconnected, the file will be gone. So it's only working when nothing else interferes. But this is very good for small network glitches. Okay.
That's an important thing to clarify.
Yes. Thank you for the question. Okay. Okay, how can this be put into use? Because, as always, with new versions of software, it takes some time. I mean, under in the Linux world, it takes some time until it gets into Linux distributions. So we have always the possibility to compile it from sources. There are a few more or different build requirements here. We have a new build system called WEF, which is based on Python. You can read a little bit about the how to build Samba on our wiki. Just use this link or just enter build as a search term. And of course, distributors are working on Samba binary packages. But okay, here is, sorry, commercial alert from Cernet. We have yesterday published binary packages for newer versions of Debian, Ubuntu, Red Hat Enterprise, Linux, CentOS, SLES, and OpenSUSE. So there are binary packages that are hopefully good enough so that you can upgrade from your distribution packages cleanly, so the dependencies have been one of the major challenges here. And as I said, okay, we have a new build system, we have new components, so this packaging took much longer than we actually anticipated. It was not as easy as just taking the Samba 3 packages and, well, doing the new tarball there. It was a lot and bigger effort. So, and then you can control with the init scripts whether you want to start your Samba in a classical mode, SMBD, NMBD, WinBindD, or in the new mode, the Samba Daemon as Active Directory Domain Controller. Okay, enough advertising, but I think it's an important thing to know that there are already packages that you can freely use. There are no costs associated. Okay. Okay, ACDC, no, ADDC. What can we do, what can we not do? This is the question. So what is officially supported? Okay, this looks a little sad. Samba can only serve one forest. It can only have a single domain, and in that domain, we may only have a single domain controller. It was officially supported according to the release notes. This is just because, of course, Active Directory is a beast. It's really huge. And it's not that we don't have support for this at all, for multiple domains or for multiple replicating domain controllers. Okay. What about trusts? Samba can be trusted, but Samba does not trust yet. Because in order to trust other domains, Samba needs to get these other domains users into the system. And we currently So there are a couple of things to solve. This is basically work in progress, or at least where we're discussing how to solve this. This is one of the items for future releases. This applies to subdomains in the forest as well as cross-forest trusts. And then multiple domain controllers. So the directory replication works. This was presented here a couple of times, I think 2010 or something, in Andrew Twidgell's talk. This basically works. We can replicate with Windows domain controllers and so on. But the one very important point that's missing is that the sysfor replication, the file system replication for the share where the group policies are stored, is not implemented yet, not completely implemented at least. And so we can't say we support more than one domain controller, at least not in heterogeneous environments. We can, by externalizing the replication of the file system, for instance, with an rsync-based mechanism, we can support multiple Samba DCs in such a homogeneous Samba environment. So that works. Okay, so this is these are the details. So it's not as brutal as stated above. Yes, Mathieu?
I would add that also we still have a couple of bugs on the replication. So it's
yes.
Not working flawlessly. That's also good.
Okay, disclaimer. Samba is not bug-free. There probably will always be bugs. And the replication also, you mean the directory? No, okay, there are known bugs in the directory replication.
Yeah.
I think especially when there are schema extension and stuff. So
yeah.
There are.
So when
yeah.
We have a lot
okay.
of domain
right.
coming into this.
Okay, but basically the feature is there. And this is different than for file system replication, which is still a challenge.
Yeah, that's also they explain why we say we're
going to okay, yes, yes. Okay. Okay, this is an explanation. Maybe it wasn't not, audible. The remark that there are known bugs and maybe severe bugs under circumstances in the replication, which I said basically works, was also one more reason to say, okay, officially we just support one domain controller. But you can set up systems with multiple Samba DCs for the same domain. Okay, this is these are the dirty details about what works and what doesn't work with Samba 4.0. But still, I mean, even with a single domain control on a single domain, we thought that this could be a useful thing to release, to get this out and have tested, and even in small companies or small installations run in production. Okay, so what comes next? This was about what is there in Samba 4, and now plans for the future releases. Stefan.
Yeah, as Michael said already, one missing support in Samba 4 as Active Directory domain controller is that we don't completely support subdomains, multiple domains in a forest, and also trusts in general to other forests and domains. We have some basic code for the subdomains, and also do trusts in the sense that other domains can trust us. But we have a lot of work to do in the WinBind area, where we are trying to verify users of other domains to our local server and proxy authentication to the other domains. Then the other big thing, sysfor replication, is a very huge project, and we first need an RPC infrastructure to support this. There are some things in the implementation of the protocols which are non-standard or not widely used by other RPC interfaces. We need to implement those. We need to support fully asynchronous requests, because the client side of the replication just fires a request off and then waits minutes, hours until it comes back with an answer from the server that there was a change in some file and that needs to be replicated. In order to apply file changes to our local storage, we may need to have a better abstraction in our file server backend. Currently, we have an abstraction for the POSIX layer, and in Windows, there's this called SFA layer, file system abstraction layer. And we may need to implement parts of this in Samba because the files are replicated as Microsoft backup files, and we just need to apply the backup files into the live file system. And yeah, for more details for the Active Directory to do this, you could go to Matthew Pazu's talk later today. And now I hand off over to Michael again for the SMB server to do this.
Okay, just very briefly, because we'll have details on that, and I think we should speed up a little. So the most prominent things on the agenda for the file server is extending support for SMB features. So as I mentioned already, there are leases which belong to SMB 2.1, which are already being worked on. And then for SMB 3, which has been released with Windows 8 and Server 2012 last year, and I think October 2012, roughly, maybe also September. There are a lot of features that reflect the, I think, Microsoft's current strategy to push SMB into the storage market. And so RDMA support, variant or extension of leases called directory leases. We have multi-channel, which is kind of a client-side channel bonding mechanism to increase throughput. Then we have a lot of cluster concepts. So Microsoft is, for the first time with SMB3 and Windows 2012 Server, going offering all active SMB clustering. And so there are a lot of things here. One special thing is persistent handles, which is, so to speak, if you want to put it that way, durable handles with guarantees, with strong guarantees, and something called witness. You will see more about this in the next slides. So we move from the support for durable handles to the newer features, which are also in the SMB protocol, some continuation of the thing that has been started with durable handles. And so there is a wiki page that is currently not filled very much for the SMB3 items, but might be in the very near future. So what we want to present you in the next couple of slides is our current plans and designs for some of these important features. I think the first, okay, leases is still with for me, and afterwards Metz takes over again. Okay, leases, what are leases? One could say that leases are oplocks done right. Oplocks and leases in SMB are both a client caching mechanism, and the oplocks that came from SMB1 had some problems attached to them. So for instance, one very prominent thing is oplocks couldn't be upgraded to a better caching mode without closing and reopening the file. This is fixed with leases, and leases have advanced caching modes and so-called break semantics. And there is the variant called directory leases, which is when you say that oplocks and leases are mechanisms for caching content or work exchanges on the content of a file. Directory leases are mechanisms for metadata caching. And so these have been introduced with SMB3. And this is what leases are about. In order to implement leases, we note that we already have on the file system abstraction layer, which is located in the locking TDB database, a concept of oplocks attached to the open files. This is currently one-to-one relation. This has to be loosened. And we have to extend these oplocks implementation on the FSA layer in a similar way as this is done in the Microsoft in the Windows protocol specification, so that these file system level oplocks can cope with both semantics for SMB oplocks and SMB leases. So there is currently a plan, and this has been started. And there is a concept of lease keys. So we need to, in order to identify the leases. We have already started, especially Volker Lendecke has started to do some very important preparation and cleanup work in the file server, in the oplock code. So this work has been started, even apart from just the design and ideas. Lease keys and client GUID is something that need to be maintained in the SMB layer. So we'll need extra databases there, because we need to look up the leases by the lease key and client GUID. Okay, let's move on quickly to the next topic, because these are the newer features. Metze.
Okay, SMB3 has the concept of multi-channel support, which means that a client can open multiple. Okay, the client can open multiple connections, TCP connections to the server, and bind them together, and use I/O over both or more than two or one channels, and there's the new interface discovery call where the client asks the server for the offered interfaces and also the capabilities of the interfaces, the bandwidth, and also capabilities like RDMA or something like that. And for a file server cluster, clients just connect to one cluster node but have multiple connections to this one node. And this also helps in order to prevent network problems when a client switches from Wi-Fi to a hardwired network or something like that. So in SMBD, we need to split up the relation that we have one SMBD process is just for one TCP connection, so we need to do something there. And the current idea is that we have a Unix domain socket where we send the socket file descriptor through together with some information about the connection, and we identify the client with a client GUI which comes with the SMB3 and SMB2 netprod requests. So at the early stage of the connection, we would pass the socket to the SMD which already serves the client, and this makes it much easier to bind the sessions together and have all the state in memory instead of databases which need to be synchronized between processes. And the good thing is that our POSIX layer would not notice anything about that, and we would transparently just offer multi-channels to the client. The next extension to the multi-channel support is RDMA support. This is offered via InfiniBand, IVARP, or Rookie hardware, where it's possible to do things like zero copy transfers between applications with additional hardware support. Under Linux, there's also a soft IVARP stack which could be used to simulate things and for testing. In our client libraries and also in our server, we need to abstract the transport for SMB. Currently, we have just TCP with the tiny MBT layer above, and we need to extend this to support RDMA messages and make this transparent for the core SMB layer. And in order to support zero copy, we need to add some buffer abstractions where we just have file system calls like read buffer and write buffer, and we don't need to pass the actual memory buffer, but could also pass a file descriptor or something like that. So we already have a hacked version of a client implementation where we were able to talk to a Windows server over RDMA and do some captures and analyze how the protocol works. We are doing this based on libiverbs and librdmacm, but both of these libraries have a few problems when we want to use it in a file server. The first is that it's not fork safe, so currently SMBD forks for each connection, and this is not possible with these libraries because they have some state which would not be transferred or not locked correctly between the processes, and it's also not possible to pass connection objects between processes, which would be good for our design for multi-channel in general. So, Michael?
Okay, persistent handles. As I mentioned earlier, persistent handles in SMB3 are like durable handles with strong guarantees. That means a client that is disconnected, or even in a file system cluster, the node to which a client is connected crashes. The client should be able to reconnect and reclaim its open file handles with a persistent state attached to it. That includes writes and process, byte range, locks, and so on. So let's briefly go over this. The main thing is we have a lot of infrastructure introduced with for durable handles already. It required us to serialize a lot of SMB level state in databases that we didn't need to do before. So the foundations are there. The main question now is, apart from the requirement to serialize even a bit more state, how to make this persistent for persistent handles. So we really need to make sure that when the server crashes, the state is still there and we can reconnect and give the guarantees back to the client. And this is especially challenging in a file system cluster, of course, in a Samba CDDB cluster, because we have to ensure that this is going cross-node. I mean, if we base on CDDB databases, the foundation is there, and we probably will need to make changes to TDB or CDDB if we don't want to move to persistent databases completely, which are working on transactions on the whole database, but we may need to introduce a mode where we have, let's say, transaction on single records or groups of records. So this is still not very clear. We are just starting to also test the semantics against Windows, a Windows cluster. Okay, let's move on. Stefan, I think this is last feature slide also.
So there is also a witness protocol in SMB3. It's not directly related to SMB3. It's more a protocol on top or beside it, which monitors the connection between the server and the client, especially in a cluster. This is done as an RPC service using TCP. It's there to provide faster planned or unplanned failovers between cluster nodes. And there is the same thing as with the SysWare replication. We need async DC RPC infrastructure, which could easily fit into a single process model, which would make it very easy to implement the witness protocol. And the important thing for the cluster is that this is independent from SMBD and Samba. So it could be started separately, and it could talk to CTDB to monitor the cluster and things like that. That's it. Yep. Any questions?
Right. Okay, we now switch over. Let me remove this.
Thank you for your interesting talk. Questions? I already see the first back here. Just a moment.
Metta, on the RDMA stuff, since the enumeration of the transports is going to be handled by the target SMBD anyway, couldn't you, and you have to return a an addressing structure that includes a port number, couldn't we simply create the RDMA, the listen port in the context of that SMBD rather than having it handled by an external SMBD and trying to hand it around?
I don't know exactly, but Tom in the background wants to answer, I think.
Tom?
The port number is ignored. It's in there because it's a sock adder structure, but the port number's not used. 5445 is the only port to which the client will attempt to connect. Sorry.
You guys were designing that. We actually considered that.
We actually considered that, but for simplicity, we decided that the well-known port was the only appropriate port to listen on. For instance, the SMB server only listens on 445.